Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, gracious and mighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our epistle lesson today is really powerful, and so I kind of want to dwell on that for a moment, you know? The reality is, as we live in this world, it talks about following the law in our epistle lesson. As we live in this world, it's really hard to follow the law of God, right? The reality is, and we know this from the Old Testament, because of our sinful nature, we are going to fall over and over again. We are going to sin. We are not perfect, and we make mistakes. I'm speaking on my behalf. I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes. And when I do, I'm confronted with the guilt that is healthy from the Holy Spirit that causes me to turn back to Jesus, to seek His forgiveness, to walk with Him, and to live a more Christ-like life. But there also is that couple of shame that comes with it, right? That message that I'm a bad pastor, I'm a bad husband, I'm a failure at what I do. And that message of shame that causes me sometimes to turn away from Jesus and to look at what can I do to earn my salvation? What can I do to make God love me better? How do I solve my own problems? What actions do I need to take? And we hear this very commonly in statements that we hear around us all the time, like I'll say to people, we're going to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I can't wait to go there. And they'll say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Like it's doubt. And the reality is that's part of shame, because as Christians, we can stand firmly in the sure and certain confidence that we know we are going to heaven. There is no darkness. There is no despair. There is no doubt there. Because of baptism, because of Jesus, we as Christians can stand up even in the midst of our failures and our wrongdoings, even in the midst of our doubts and our mental illnesses and other illnesses, physical, in the midst of our failures as parents and our jobs, whatever it is, we can stand up with sure and certain confidence and say, I know I'm going to heaven. But it's so easy to fall into the trap of the law. In fact, that's kind of what the church was famous for and still is in many denominations today. That's what Luther was, in essence, protesting against, the idea that we have to do something, that we have to do good works to go to heaven. We still see that in certain denominations. We see that when people have to confess their sins and then do penance to earn that forgiveness. We see it when we talk about purgatory, a place to go to work off our sins. We see it in evangelicals who say you have to make a public confession and say, I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in order to go to heaven. The reality is, I laugh all the time, evangelicals are so anti-Roman Catholic, but they're really the same, because their doctrine is you have to do good works. And then they go on to say that if you sin in your life, then you're backslidden, this stupid doctrine that says, well, you're backslidden, and that time you can't go to heaven. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Because we know as Lutherans, and as what Scripture says, we are both sinners and saints at the same time. Meaning that we are still sinful by our nature, but because we are redeemed by Jesus Christ and saved through baptism by His work, not ours, not by our public confession, but by His public confession of accepting us, we are also saints. And so the reality of today's message draws us naturally to see the second part of the lesson about the law. But we cannot go to that part without seeing the first part of the lesson for today. You are God's beloved child, and you are saved. Please hear this message today. It is crucial, because Jesus has risen from the dead, because Jesus has redeemed us and saved us from sin, death, and the devil through the work of baptism, giving you faith. You are God's child and holy and dearly loved above all things. And this is most certainly true because of His death on the cross, where He took away your sinfulness and gave you His righteous perfection. And this means that even in our imperfection, even in our mess-ups, our screw-ups, and our failures, God still looks upon us in Jesus and sees us as perfect and righteous. What a beautiful and glorious gift! Our salvation from God our Father. What love He has lavished upon us. And then in His resurrection, rising to defeat the grave, so that the kingdom of heaven is now open to us for all eternity, giving us the sure and certain confidence and the hope that has excitement, not the hope that implies doubt, the hope that has excitement, knowing what's to come, that we will live forever. You are God's child, holy and dearly loved, accepted, forgiven, and perfect to Him just the way you are, with your mistakes, your failures, your sins, your doubts, your fears, no matter whether you're homosexual or straight, no matter whether you're a murderer or not a murderer, and we all are murderers because we use things like hate and talk against our brothers, whether you're a gossip or not a gossip, whether you're a worrywart or a glutton and eat too much or drink too much, whatever it is, you are holy and dearly loved by God by virtue of your baptism, and even more so by virtue of the fact that He created you and made you in His image in the first place. By the virtue of His creation, you are precious in His sight for eternity. The application of God's righteousness and salvation comes through baptism, but even before that, you are still precious in His sight, holy and dearly loved. And so the law does take effect in our life, but the law can only come as an outflow from the gospel. From the gospel of Jesus, as Romans 1, 16 and 17 says in a nutshell, it's the only way we are saved. And from that, the righteousness of Christ flows into our life. We cannot seek to do the law or live a Christ-like love unless we do it under the gospel first. When we seek the law and then receive the gospel, this is not the way to do it because we can't do it by good works. So the gospel, the love of God, flows into our life by the power of sanctification, the process of becoming holy, and the Holy Spirit then transforms us more and more into the love, into the presence, and into the embodiment of Christ in our world. Thereby, we seek every day through the process of sanctification, through repenting our sins, turning back to God, asking for forgiveness, asking His help, we seek every day to be more like Jesus in the world. And when we do it with the understanding that God's love is what motivates us to do this, when we do it with the understanding that it's all about Jesus, then life is more joyful and peaceful. When we think about this, we see it best identified in the cross. You know, there's this vertical realm in the cross. And Luther talks about this vertical realm in the cross as God's relationship to us. And in this relationship, God is constantly pouring out that love He lavishes upon you, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and His perfection. And we are but a vessel at the bottom of that vertical relationship at the cross, being filled with that every day. Imagine if you had a bucket and you take the hose and you fill that bucket. Eventually, the bucket's going to come out and flow out. And so as God fills us up with the process of sanctification, with grace and mercy and love, we fill up in this relationship, and by virtue of filling up, we respond as the love flows out and forms the horizontal realm of the cross, this realm, our relationship to each other. And in this realm, we live out the law of Christ, which is love your neighbor as yourself. This realm, this relationship can only happen as the vertical relationship is formed, and it forms the cross of Christ. First and foremost, God loves us and fills us with His grace and mercy and sanctification. We then fill up and outflow to each other by living the law, not burdened, but by living the law of joy and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And this is how the gospel works. This is the truth of the gospel. This is the beauty of Lutheran doctrine and understanding that it all flows from the love of God in Christ Jesus that He has for you for eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.